Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to speak before you on the understanding of three Madarin Quranic surahs, Surah Muhammad, Surah Al-Fatah, and Surah Al-Hujurat. All three of them are the Madarin surahs of the fifth Quranic group of surahs, which began with Meccan surahs, starting from Surah Saba, and at the end of it, we discussed seven surahs of Meccan origin, which began all with Hameem beginning letters. As we discussed in the case of the Meccan surahs of this group, although the group discusses all the important subjects that are the focus of attention of the Quranic presentation, we find that this group in particular lays emphasis on the understanding of the unity of God, Tawheed, which has been in particular discussed in all these different surahs of the group. In the Madarin surahs, we have the understanding of the implementation of what is promised in the Meccan surahs. So what we find in Surah Muhammad, for instance, is the clear understanding that the declaration of the Almighty that with the advent of a messenger of God, a Rasul, the enemies of the messenger and his message are destined to be destroyed and punished by the Almighty in this very life, for them to become a source of lesson to be learned by the rest of the humanity. This declaration of the Almighty is to become a reality very soon, as is mentioned in Surah Muhammad, because the hands that were needed to implement the Almighty's plan have actually come into existence in the form of the companions of the Messenger of God. And therefore, the Almighty, on the one hand, clearly warns the disbelievers that their doom is very clearly reaching them in a manner that they are not going to be provided with any further lease of time for them to live anymore. On the other hand, the hypocrites have been warned that they are not going to be allowed to be provided further excuses for their behavior of drawing away from Islam, and they would do well for their own cause to ensure that they side with the believers and the messenger rather than to come close to the disbelievers. In Surah Al-Fatah, the Almighty has provided the addresses of the Quran with a clear understanding that what has been mentioned in Surah Muhammad and the other surahs, that the fate of the disbelievers is round the corner, is a reality. And to prove the point, the case of the truce of Hudaybiyah has been mentioned, in which it has been clarified that although there was this truce that took place apparently in a way that the believers thought that they were the lesser, the weaker party of the two, yet it became a prelude to a far greater, more emphatic victory for the Muslims than could originally be imagined in the form of the conquest of Mecca. Surah Al-Hujurat is a corollary of Surah Al-Fatah, wherein the Almighty has described the manner in which the companions of the Prophet, who have been mentioned in the very last verse of Surah Al-Fatah, the manner they were able to come together like true companions, Ruhamau Bainahum, the ones who were all mercy for each other. It talks about those principles which, if they would be implemented and adopted by the Muslims to come, they too would become like their predecessors, Ruhamau Bainahum. All in all these three surahs are actually describing the implementation plan of the Almighty for whatever He has promised in the Meccan surahs of this group. In Surah Muhammad, we find a number of important verses which are worthy of the attention of all readers of the Quran. The Almighty mentions, for example, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. Believers, if you are going to help God Almighty, He is going to help you, and He is going to make your feet firmly established on the ground. That is, God Almighty is all prepared to help the believers, provided if the believers are prepared to help the cause of God's message, His religion. And if that is done by the believers, there is no reason why God's help would not come from the heavens. This surah also mentions, وَالَّذِينَ اَحْتَدَوْا آتَاهُمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. The Almighty says that those people who seek guidance, the Almighty provides them with guidance and also provides them with God consciousness, taqwa. He increases them in guidance. Zadahum hudan wa atahum taqwahum. This verse is actually describing the same law that the Almighty has described in many other surahs of the Quran. That if you seek guidance, وَالَّذِينَ اَحْتَدَوْا, the Almighty increases you in guidance. زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And He also allows people to have more and more God consciousness. In other words, it all depends on devotion, the manner a person is inclined towards religion, the manner he sacrifices for it, the manner he is more and more devoted to the cause of God's message. If we seek guidance, the Almighty increases us in guidance and provides us with the all-important taqwa, God consciousness, which enables us to forge ahead and to continue to travel towards higher levels of excellence in religion, spirituality, and morality. Surah Muhammad also talks about the fact that weak believers and the hypocrites are not going to spend in the way of Allah and are going to be miser in their approach towards their wealth when it comes to the question of infaq, spending in the way of Allah, the Almighty is going to create a new nation, a new generation of people who are not going to be miser and who are going to be the ones who would act in a manner that would please the Almighty. In other words, it is for our benefit that we devote ourselves to the cause of the Almighty, that we spend in His way with the right attitude, or else there is a danger that the Almighty might replace us with other people, other nations who would believe, who would come close to Islam and adopt the way of Islam in a manner which is desired by the Almighty. So all those people who have gotten the opportunity of knowing and following Islam should value it and take it seriously, because it is a gift of the Almighty which, if it is properly valued, it gets strengthened and increases in volume and in value. However, if it is ignored and not given its true status and significance, then what we have in the form of faith and in the form of guidance may actually not remain with us anymore, and it might desert us. The next surah, Surah Al-Fatah, is also a very important surah with a number of verses which draw the attention of the reader towards taking the understanding of the surah more seriously. For instance, the Almighty mentions in Surah Al-Fatah that Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, is the messenger of God, and that he is the one who was sent by the Almighty, huwallazi arsala rasulahu bil huda wa din al haq, with guidance and the true religion, liyuzhirahu ala din kulli, so that he may enable it to dominate over all other religions, wa kafa billahi shahida, and Allah is enough as a witness to clarify to everybody that this is exactly what has happened. The Almighty knows and is a witness to the fact that the message and the mission which Prophet Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, was given to ultimately achieve has actually been achieved. And the Almighty goes on to mention that it is this Prophet who was sent by the Almighty, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَزِيرًا. O Messenger, we have sent you as a witness and as a person who gives good news, good tidings to the believers, and is the one who warns the disbelievers and the hypocrites of dire consequences if they do not follow the path of the Almighty's message properly. So that the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, had a number of different tasks to discharge, missions to accomplish. He was a witness, shahid. He was a person giving good news, good tidings to the believers, so that they are encouraged to know that what they are doing, the sacrifices that they are making, are going to be rewarded adequately and properly after they leave this world. So he was a mubashir. And he was also a nazir, somebody who warns those people who are not following the right way. In all these three cases, his responsibilities were properly and fully discharged by the Messenger of God. Towards the end of the surah, the Quran mentions that Prophet Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, was the Messenger of God. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ وَالْكُفَّارِ. And those who believe with him, they are the ones who are very strong against the disbelievers. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. But they are very merciful, very kind and generous towards each other. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّانْ سُجَّدَ. You would see them inclining, kneeling before the Almighty, prostrating before him. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. You would find them that they are struggling, endeavoring to seek God Almighty's mercies and his favors. That is what the companions of the Prophet were, all together as a group, as a team. They are the ones whose signs have been described in Torah, in Injil, and in this book. So that what the Almighty is mentioning is that the companions of the Prophet, who ultimately became the source of God Almighty's decision, of implementation of the decision, that the enemies of Islam or the enemies of the Messenger of God, they're going to be ultimately punished. These people did not come about and get created out of nowhere as a fluke, as an accident, not at all. The truth of the matter is that they came about as a result of what the Almighty had already planned and had described and mentioned in the earlier books like Torah and like Injil. And therefore, what has happened as a result of the Almighty's plan, which has gotten implemented in full force. Surah Al-Hujurat is an extremely important surah in that it talks about a very important question, and that is, how could it be possible for the believers to come together as a community wherein the individuals are strongly knit and they are loving and caring for each other and they are avoiding all kinds of disputes and disagreements? There are a number of important verses which should attract the believers. For instance, the very first verse says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Believers, do not go beyond what Allah and His Messenger have given you, have prescribed. Do not take lead. Do not make haste in suggesting to the Messenger and the Almighty, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And you fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. That is, it's only taqwa, God consciousness, which can enable people to realize that they have to know and realize their limits. They're not expected, supposed to go beyond the limits that the Almighty has described and has required His Messenger to deliver to the believers. However, this attitude cannot come about without God consciousness, without a feeling within the heart of the believer that the Almighty is there witnessing whatever he is doing. And for that, in order for us to cultivate within us this ability, this feeling, this realization, one must contemplate on the fact and continue to concentrate on the understanding that the Almighty is As-Sami Al-Alim. He hears everything, He knows everything. So that if somebody realizes and realizes with all consciousness that the Almighty hears everything what He says and knows everything what He does, and all intentions that He has in His heart are also in the knowledge of the Almighty, then it would be really difficult for an individual to go beyond the limits that have been described by the Almighty to be followed in His religion. The surah goes on to describe a number of important principles, which if they are properly followed by the Muslims, there would be very little possibility of them disintegrating and getting divided into factions and groups who are fighting against each other. So that the Quran says, Ya ayyuhal ladzina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba. O believers, if there comes before you an unreliable person with an important piece of information, fatabayyanu, then you must make sure that you investigate and you confirm that the news, the information is correct. Antusibu qawman bijahalatin, lest you should take action against a nation ignorantly. Vatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin, and then you regret after you have taken a decision, after you have decided to take decision against a certain group of nation, a group of people, you regret on what you had done. In other words, the Almighty is requiring believers in this verse to make sure that they are not going to rely on information which is coming from sources that are not worthy of being taken seriously. False rumors is what the Almighty is condemning in this verse. The Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, is reported to have said that it is enough for a person to be described as a liar if he tells people everything that he hears from others. So that we as believers must make sure that before we let people know about information that we have received from others, we make sure that the information is reliable, is coming from a source which is worthy, which has been agreed upon to be worthy of being taken seriously. It is because of this principle mentioned in the Quran that we know that the muhaddithun, the people, the scholars who investigated the veracity and the authenticity of the reports coming from Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, they took lots of efforts, spent their lifetimes to make sure that the information about the Prophet that they are receiving is not coming to them from unreliable sources. The Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat goes on to mention that وَإِن تَعِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اَقْتَتَلُوا, if there are two groups amongst the believers who pick a dispute and fight with each other, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, then you make peace between the two. That is, believers cannot sit idle to watch and to witness that there are fellow Muslims who are fighting with each other. It is their obligation to make sure that they bring their Muslim brothers together to have peace and to have harmony with each other. However, the Quran goes on to tell us that if one of them transgresses against the other, فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي, then you fight against the one who has transgressed. حَتَّى تَفِيَا إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, until such time that the group that transgressed comes back to the injunction, the order of Allah. And then after that, when it comes back to the order of Allah, to the requirement, expectation of the Almighty, then you make peace between them, but be fair and be just. The Almighty has used two words to describe the same understanding, that is, أَقْسِطُوا وَعَدِلُوا, be fair and be just. Because Allah loves only those who are fair and just. This emphasis on justice is because of the fact that there was a likelihood that the Muslims might have actually been biased against the group that had transgressed, and therefore could have taken a decision that was not really truly a fair and just decision. And therefore, Muslims have been warned and have been asked not to take a decision other than what is just. And in the next verse, the Almighty says that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Believers are indeed all brothers. فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So that you make peace between your brothers. That is, like you cannot see your family disintegrating. You cannot see your fraternity going into factions and pieces. Similarly, Muslim Ummah is a family. And therefore, all family members should be attempted to brought together to live in peace, harmony and concern for each other. The surah goes on to describe in the next two verses six evils, social evils, which if stayed away from, which if they are avoided by the believers, they would avoid as a result most of the possibilities of generating and getting into disputes. The first thing that the Almighty mentions is that la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. That is, nations, groups of people should not laugh and ridicule other groups of people. We should not laugh at others at the expense of them, to ridicule them, to undermine them, and to make fun of them. Because quite often it so happens that the cause of a dispute is an incorrect, a careless attitude of making fun on the part of an individual or a group of people. So that neither men should make fun of men, nor women should make fun of women. And then the Almighty says that the believers should also not deride each other. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. They should not taunt at each other, not make insulting remarks, so that quite often it is this careless discussion that leads to disputes, whereby a person is insulting another person by deriding him, by taunting at him. That too should be avoided. Then the verse goes on to say that the believers should not assign insulting nicknames to other fellow believers. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Because it also happens that at times when insulting nicknames are assigned, they are a cause of dispute between people, between groups of Muslims. The next verse goes on to mention that Muslims should not have bad assumptions about others. They should not spy on others' privacy, and they should not backbite against others. All these evils put together, they can be a cause of serious disputes amongst believers, which of course needs to be avoided. May Allah Almighty enable us to have a proper understanding of His religion, and may He enable us to practice it as best as is possible for us.